Well, I'm so glad you're here this morning. We are starting 2 John today. And I actually think I'm going to teach 2 John in 2 Sundays. Can y'all believe that? We'll see. Nobody believes me. I don't know if I believe myself. But I really think it's only going to, I only think it's going to take me 2 Sundays, but we'll see. Let's open with a word of prayer, and we're going to jump in this morning. Y'all are going to have to come back next Sunday just to document it, just to see. We're going to have, you know, confetti fall from the sky. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the blessing of being here this morning together. We're so excited about studying your word together. Your word is thrilling. Your word is amazing. Your word is so worthy of us getting up and making preparation and coming to this place to open up our lives to it, that it might get in and it might affect us, it might transform us. We need your word, Father, and so we present our hearts to you this morning and we ask you to speak to us, and we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I want to start out our lesson with a scripture from Luke 10, and it's on your handout. It's a very familiar story, but it's going to make a point that I want to make just starting out our lesson this morning. And it's the story of Mary and Martha. Let's read it and remind ourselves of it. And you decide, am I Mary or am I Martha? And Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Now, we're going to see in our lesson today, we're going to be talking about Christian hospitality. And back in ancient times, Christian hospitality was very important. Christians had to open their homes to one another. And so Martha opened her home to Jesus. What a cool privilege. What if you could open your home to have Jesus stay in your home? Wow. She had a sister, Scripture says here, called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And I get that, don't you? You've got guests in your home. That's a lot of pressure, right? And so Martha came up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Now that was a little, that was a little gutsy to go up to your guest and say that about your sister. Just throw her under the bus. And then Martha said, tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, oh, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. Have you entered a Sunday school this morning, and are you worried and bothered about so many things? And then Jesus said this, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And I want to start with that lesson. Mary's focus was the focus that we should have. It's a focus on truth. And there Jesus was in her very house, and she was doing the right thing. She was sitting at his feet, and she was hanging on to his every word. How important is truth in your life? That's the question we're thinking about this morning. And I think the best place that we can ever be as women is to place ourselves in the hearing of the truth of God. Truth has got to be the priority for us and for the church as a whole. Now, I'm just thinking about our generation that you and I have been called to shine as lights in. We're living in a very serious situation in our generation. It's not the first time it's happened. This has happened all throughout history. But we're living in a time where truth is lacking. People, maybe even born-again people, they don't really know doctrine. They don't really know the truth like they need to know the truth. I know in the bank, if you want to recognize a counterfeit bill, you have to be so familiar with the real thing that immediately, if a counterfeit comes along, you recognize it. Same thing in Christianity. We need to be so knowledgeable of the truth that when error comes along, we immediately recognize error. But if we don't know truth and someone with a smooth tongue comes along, they can say things and we'll think, oh, that sounds right. And I might get way off track in my Christian life. And so the point of this study that we're about to enter in 2nd and 3rd John is the importance of knowing the truth. Back then, in the ancient world, false teachers would go around on a circuit, because I'm going to tell you something, there was a lot of money to be made. There was a lot of money to be made. And false teachers are in it for the money. And so they got on their circuit, and when they would go to towns, Christians would open their homes and invite them in. Now, we're going to see that's going to be addressed in this letter. You have to be very careful who you invite in. Now, today, we don't as much have physical people in their bodies in Brookhaven, but oh my goodness, just go to the internet. Go to podcasts. How many podcasts are there out there now? Millions of podcasts. Books. Radio programs. We have Christian networks. Is everybody on that network true to doctrine? You know they're not. There are many, many false, spiritually false teaching going through the airwaves. And so social media and all of this can be very seductive spiritually to us. We have to be so sharp. And the way to recognize the truth, I mean the false, is to know the truth for yourself. That's why I think Sunday school is so important. And so now we're coming to 2nd and 3rd John. And by Sunday school is just so basic. You need to be adding other things in there as well. But, my goodness, at least come that time. So, think with me now. We've just finished 1 John. 1 John was also addressing false teachers who had come in. And they were teaching different things about Christ. It was off base. Now, here's what false teachers do. They have a lot of truth, and then they insert a little false. The truth sounds so good, you think, oh, they must be right, they must be right. And then comes this little false, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not right. And so in 1 John, John was giving them tests. You've got to make sure what they're teaching about Jesus is the real truth. And then you have to make sure that they're obeying the truth, they're loving God, they're loving other Christians, and they're not loving the world. Remember all those tests that we went through. Then these two little letters follow, 2 John, 3 John. They're written right at the same time. Now remember, John is at the very end of his life. He's going to die or be exiled very shortly, and then he will die in an exile situation. But you have 1 John, all about guarding the truth, recognizing error. Then you have 2nd and 3rd John, same subject. And then we're going to look at Jude, which is about liars, and then Revelation. And that's the end of time. I think the way these fall in the Bible is not by accident. Now, both of these letters that we're going to be studying right back to back real quick, 2nd and 3rd John, both of them have less than 300 Greek words. Look, 2 John has 200 words. 3 John has about 245 Greek words. They're very, very brief. And both of them are written to individual people. You had 1 John, it went to a whole congregation. But these two letters, the first one, 2 John, is written to an unnamed lady. We don't know who she is, and her children. And then 3 John is written to a man. His name is Gaius. So, we are going to come and see why. Why does John write this letter? First to a lady and then to a man. So write it on your handout. First of all, he's writing to warn them. To warn them about false teachers. And then secondly, he's calling them not to compromise the truth. Now, for this reason, I'm going to say this really... I don't really want to call it a letter because it's so short. I'm going to call it a postcard. It's just like a little postcard that he's putting in the mail. You and I, as Christian women, we've got to be so very careful that we don't fellowship with what is false and that we don't sit under teaching that is not right. We've got to be discerning. We've got to not be gullible. I think women are particularly vulnerable in this area. I'm just going to say truth and lies are not compatible. And the Word of God, I'm just looking across Christendom today and all the different denominations. They're having to decide, are we going to compromise? Are we going to let error now rule in our denomination? That's going on all across the board in our country. But if the church loses the truth, then it is not the church anymore. The church is the pillar and the support of truth. So John is going to say as his theme, in these two little letters, that truth is everything. Truth is what the Christian life is all about. This little letter is all about the truth. And even though it's short, it's got a dynamite message. And I think it's going to exhort us to live in the truth, to love the truth, to look for the truth, to be loyal to the truth, to learn the truth. And it's filled with warnings now of what will happen if we don't. So you and I have got to be committed to truth. This means I can't just have an open door policy to anyone and everyone that would want to come in and teach. I've got to be discerning. I've got to protect it at all cost. And so he's calling us to be soldiers of the truth, to guard the truth, to contend for the truth. Now, I want to give you a little historical background that'll help us because I've already mentioned it. Back then when pastors and teachers were on a circuit and they were taking God's gospel all around, there was no New Testament then, they would stay in the homes of Christians. And there were inns at that time, but inns were dangerous places. An inn was more like a brothel. An inn would have, it would be filthy. And you would only stay there if you were desperate. That would be your only reason. So they depended on the hospitality as they were going from place to place. That was very appealing to a false teacher. Why, just get on the circuit? Get invited into a beautiful home? Have someone in that home cook for you, wash for you, do all your needs? Make you be Mr. Everything in their church and give you a platform to teach, and you could make a lot of money doing that. And so they say, this is a nice place. I'm just going to settle right in and stay here until I'm exposed. This was hurting the church. That's what was going on in 1 John's letter. There were false teachers there. And so John is coming. He's warning you. You don't want to open your home and invite in anyone who isn't teaching the truth. because the church has to be protected at all cost. So, back then, hospitality was a matter of spiritual virtue. And you were to do it without complaining. It was just expected of the early church, because caring for people was an essential service. It was just a tangible way for you to share the love of Christ. In fact, if you do a study in spiritual gifts, there are people who actually have the gift of hospitality that can open their door. It was part of God's plan. Now, let me tell you why this was God's timing for all of this was so perfect. And at this time in history, one of the things that existed in the world was something called Pax Romana. Have y'all heard of that? That meant Roman peace. Rome had conquered all of these countries. They knocked down the walls between the countries of the Mediterranean world, and people could just come and go and cross all kinds of borders very easily, no problems at all. Guess what? That really helped the gospel to spread fast at this time in history. And not only that, but the Romans had this incredible system of roads that they had built. Roads were everywhere. The Roman roads were legendary. And stationed all along those roads were Roman soldiers, and they were making travel very safe during that time in the Roman Empire. And so, like I said, false teachers soon figured out they can make a lot of money by hitting the road as a preacher. We have people like that today who make a lot of money, like as in owning 6 Rolls Royces, 2 or 3 jets, homes all over the world. I'm serious. By teaching the gospel, by just being a teacher on a big circuit. And they would prey, just like these false teachers do in our day, on gullible Christians who were loving them in a kind way, and they're getting a hearing for their lies, and it's distressing the church. And I'm telling you, they're in it for the money. And so it is this issue of hospitality that John is writing this lady about. And he's going to tell her and to tell others that to be very careful. Very careful. Don't let your home, don't let yourself be exposed to errors. Don't let teachers into your homes and into your churches who are not genuine. Now, all of that is just to give you a little feel for what this letter is all about. So let's go to today, the first 4 verses. This letter is just 13 verses long, but it's packed with wonderful truth. It's packed with wonderful blessing. I've actually never taught it before. I've never studied it myself before, so I'm real excited, along with you, to jump in. Let's read the first verse together. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. Now, we're going to see in the first 4 verses the word truth. I think it's going to be 5 times in those 4 verses. Truth is a major theme. Look at verse 2. For the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Verse 4. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. So truth is the theme. It's going to be the theme of 3 John as well. So the first thing John is calling us to do is to walk in truth, to live the truth. Now, how are we going to do that? Or why should we do that? And let's write some reasons down on our handout. The first reason is it's because truth, now this is important, truth is the thing that ties us together. It ties us. And I could have used the word unite. Truth is our common denominator. Now look back at that first verse, the elder to the chosen lady and her children whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. What he's saying there is, look, our connection with one another is truth. It's the truth that unites us. We all believe the same thing. We're all committed to the same thing. We're believers who are linked in the body of Christ, and we have this common eternal life because of the common knowledge and belief in the gospel facts. Now, who is the elder here? It's John. An elder is like a preacher. He's the elder. A church would have elders. He says, the elder to this chosen lady, this elect lady. We found out this child, this lady has children. We found out, if you look at verse 10, she has a house. And if you go to the end, verse 13, you're going to find out she has a sister. And to call her chosen is just another way of saying she's for real. She belongs to God. No husband is mentioned here. It could mean she's a widow, maybe. Or it could mean, you know, the home was her sphere of influence and she was the one doing the hospitality. And so it could be that he's just addressing her because of that and the husband's doing his thing, working. I don't know. We're not told. But notice how John links himself to her, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also everyone who knows the truth. You see, it just the truth is the thing that brings us together and causes us to love each other. Now maybe he knows her really well. I don't know. Or maybe not very well. But there's this love that we share that knits all believers' hearts together in truth. Have you ever just gone into a situation where you're with some people who you've never met, but they're Christians? They're beautiful Christians. Suddenly, all of a sudden, you've never met each other, you've never known each other, but you feel an instant bond. Has that ever happened to you? It's because you're all of the same family. You're all committed and bound to the gospel. You've all had the new birth. And that just makes you instantly together. It's amazing. I'm going to get to go to Zambia. Babs is going too. We're going spring break week. And we're joining with another church. And we don't know those women. We don't know them from anywhere. But I can promise you this. We're going to hook up with those women. I shouldn't have said hook up because that has different meanings. One time I was saying, oh, who are you going to hook up with? Mimi, don't ever say that. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Is that bad? Yeah, that's bad. Okay. We're going to connect with some other women. And I guarantee you, I already love those women. I do. Because they are part of the body of Christ. We have the same spiritual life. Truth in your life produces in us affections for others, sympathies for others, care, compassion, concern for each other. And it's because we're just all tied together in the truth. So our first point is, why should I walk in truth? It's because it's the truth that unites us. Now, I want to say something about false teachers. You get false teachers in your church, and you're going to have a lot of disharmony. You are. You're going to have a lot of contention, a lot of jealousies, a lot of things. But when the truth is being put on a pedestal, you have unity. I love our church. Our church has the most beautiful unity right now. We did not always have unity, girls. I've been here 45 years. Let's go to something else about truth. Truth, we're going to find, indwells us. Look at verse 2. For the sake of the truth, notice what it says, which abides where? It abides in us. and will be with us forever. You see, when I'm born again, the truth teacher, the Holy Spirit, moves right in, and he's going to be with me forever. This unchanging truth is in me. This is so amazing, in salvation, I actually receive the very mind of Christ. So cool. Truth ties us together. Truth indwells us. Here's a third thing. Truth blesses us. It blesses us. Look there in verse 3. Grace, mercy, peace will be with us. And where does that come from? It comes from God the Father. That's one total person. And the Son of the Father. That's Jesus. And we get it in truth and in love. If you want grace, peace, and mercy that comes from God the Father and Jesus the Son, you receive it and get it only in the truth. You know, I could invite a teacher in here who's really good, and they can have a big PowerPoint going on and all kinds of good stuff, but if they are not teaching you real truth, it will not affect you with grace, mercy, and peace. Only God's truth can bear that fruit in your life. That's why it's so important. You don't want just good teachers. You want spirit-filled, truth-teaching, genuinely born-again people. You want to sit under them. Grace for our sins, mercy for our miserable condition, and peace that's brought to us through our reconciliation to God through Christ. They all come to us, listen, only through the truth of the gospel. And love always accompanies that truth. You see, where divine truth dominates the mind and the heart, there's going to be grace and peace and mercy forever. And it brings with it love. So truth ties us together. Truth indwells us. Truth blesses us. And then let's write one more. Truth controls us. Look at verse 4. I was very glad to find, John says, to this chosen lady, I was very glad to find that some of your children were walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. I just know as a mother and a grandmother, I just get so happy when my children or my grandchildren are walking in truth. Amen. Don't you agree? And he says, I was so glad. You know what that word means? In the Greek, it's the word exuberant. Guess what? Exuberant means. It's our same word. We use that very word. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the Greek word eureka. And we get our word exuberant from it. Now, maybe John had had personal contact with these children. We don't know for sure. But John had learned that they were walking in truth. She was walking in truth. Her children were walking in truth. And he was exceedingly overjoyed and exuberant about people walking in truth. Their lives were defined by truth. Here's what it means. Truth controlled their life. Now, what controls your life? Do you let the truth of God's word control you? And I'm just saying this morning, and this is the theme of this letter, very short. Truth is everything to Christians. It's the main thing. It's what ties us together. It's what dwells within us. It's what brings us grace, mercy, peace, love, all of the goodies, all of the blessings of life. And it should be the very thing that is controlling everything about our life. So I'm going to say to you this morning that your relationship to truth, my relationship to truth, is the most important, first priority of what I am to give my attention to. What a day we're living in. This is not easy. This is not easy. It is not popular to have a life that is steered by something that is called absolute truth. Right? Because what? Who are you, Teresa, to say what's absolute truth? Because what's right for you is right for you. And over here, whatever's right for you is right for you. And, you know, everybody just does what's right for you. How can you tell me what is right? It's just not popular to be a Christian today. And I look around and I just see people are so flippant about their faith, about their church, about being in the body. This is something we can't be flippant about. You and I are going to have to stand in our day and take a stand for the truth. That's what John is telling us. We're going to have to guard it. We're going to have to protect it. We're going to have to know it. We're going to have to communicate it very carefully. And we're called, you and I are called, to carry the torch of the truth and hand it to the next generation. And I'm telling you this morning, it's serious business. Because there's nothing as important as the divine truth of the Word of God. It's the only thing that will never pass away. And so the Holy Spirit has given us these two little letters to remind us of the weightiness of our responsibility. Do you feel the weight of it as I'm teaching you this morning? Just feel the weight of it. Oh God, I've got to live for the truth. I've got to communicate carefully the truth. I'm going to pray for our church that we lift up the truth before our culture. Bless Brother Greg. Oh my goodness, last week, he stood up and boldly carried the torch of the truth. That was not a popular thing to do, to get up and speak so boldly as he did. But I'm going to tell you this morning, God's truth is the only thing that can bring life. Aren't you so glad we live in a place where we can know the truth, we can be tied together by the truth, united, we are indwelt with the truth, it's alive in our lives, it's transforming us, we're so blessed by the truth, it just pours out for us grace and mercy and peace, and it's what is controlling us as we're walking each day in our lives. Now, I am just praying for us that we will be a people who know it more deeply, who love the truth, who celebrate the truth, who proclaim the truth as we're living our lives before a world that's watching us. Now, I want you to spend a few minutes. I've put on your handout the questions I want you to look at, and then I'll come back up and I will close us in prayer. So get with it. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the blessing of sitting in this room and talking about your truth today. Pray that you stir up our hearts to hold up the banner of your truth, to carry the torch of your truth in our generation. And we pray our church will be a pedestal of your truth. And we just ask your blessing now as we go into our worship service. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.